We've been in a series called No Easy Faith. And the reason I chose that title is because I think sometimes we have an idea that faith just comes naturally or it just happens. But faith is not easy. Faith does not come easy. It does not grow easy. Faith requires something of us. And those things vary from time to time and situation and circumstances. But faith is the basis of our belief. It's the foundation of Christianity. And so God desires us not only to have faith, but to have faith that's growing, maturing, and drawing us in more closer to Him and us more obedience to Him. And so today, in that light, in faith, there's another area of faith that God speaks to us about. And as a matter of fact, in the Bible, God talks about prayer. There's over 500 verses on prayer and things like that. And there's over 1,000 verses on stewardship. Stewardship. So today, I want to challenge your faith. And I want to talk to you about something very near and dear to you. And that's this. Lock the doors so they don't leave. There's over 1,000 verses, maybe even almost 2,000 verses, that where the Lord talks about stewardship, talks about money specifically. But stewardship encompasses much more than that. And we're going to talk about a couple of things this morning. In Exodus chapter 13, the Lord says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is whose? It is mine, says the Lord.'" In verse 12, a little farther in that chapter, it says that you shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb, that is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the male shall be the Lord's. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, and if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. God is saying the first belongs to Him. The first belongs to Him. And He says it's to be consecrated to Him. The firstborn, whatever of man or of beast. And then He says down there, He says it shall be set apart. And He's talking about everything that comes first. Everything that comes first. You know, and then He talks about redeeming with the lamb, redeeming those things, those animals that are unclean, and then also redeeming their firstborn sons. Do you know you've been redeemed by Jesus Christ? We have been redeemed. You know, I'm going to tell you this. I'm very passionate about this. I'm very passionate about this. What I'm talking about is tithing. That's what I'm going to be talking to you about today is tithing. And if you're visiting with us for the first time or you haven't been here long and you have the attitude of, well, here they go. All the church does is ask for money. Well, let me tell you, your attitude's wrong. So you need to stick with me and hear me out because you'll learn something today from God's Word. We don't talk about money a lot around here. But I try to at least once a year preach on stewardship. And the truth is, I'm a year past due. So you're going to get it today. You might get it next week and the week. No. There are so many scriptures here. We're going to cover a lot of ground this morning. But I could spend all day with you in just scriptures talking about putting God first and stewardship. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 25. For whoever desires, Jesus is speaking, he says, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You know what God's saying? Put me first. He's saying the first belongs to God. Why? Because God must be first, and it takes faith to put him first. If you don't think it takes faith to put him first, then you need to check your faith. It takes faith to put God first. I shared a scripture with the team this morning from Revelation chapter 2 about the loveless church. And the Lord is complimenting them on their faith and the things that they're doing and their works and their perseverance. But he says, I have this one thing against you. You've lost your first love. And that first love was him. That first love is him. And that's what this is about. It's about making him first, making him your first love. God must be first, and it takes faith to put him first. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. That's God's house. That's the church. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. He's saying, bring the tithes to the storehouse. The tithe is the first. It's a tenth. The tithe means tenth. It's the first tenth. It's the first 10%. Why does he tell us to do that? He says, try me and I'll show you how I'll bless you if you honor me and you're obedient to me. Back up a little bit in verse 8 and 9. He says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. And you're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. You see, what did we just read in Exodus? God says, that first is mine. And when we don't give the first to him, the word says we're stealing from him. Yeah, that's hard. That's hard. That's serious. But it's true. It's true because it's God's word. Exodus chapter 23, verse 19. The Lord says, the first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord. The first of the first. I don't think he can make it any clearer. Not the second or the third part or the last part. The first of your increase. The first of your income. You see, tithing is critical because it's a primary way of putting God first. And whether we want to admit it or not, for many people, this is near and dear, not to our back pocket or our purse, it's near and dear to our heart. The Lord says, where your treasures are, there your heart will be also. So you might carry this mint in your back pocket, but it's connected right here. It's connected right here. The tithe is to come to the church because the church is the storehouse. It's where you're fed. It's the house of the Lord. It's not to be divided up between this ministry or that place and that place. The tithe is for the storehouse for God to use through his bride, the church. The other ministries and things that we support, those are offerings. And so that you'll know, offerings are over and above the tithe. The tithe is the Lord's. What you do with your offerings over and above the tithe is you're free to do. But the tithe belongs to God. And it's to come to the storehouse And that takes faith. It takes faith. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 8. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Verse 10, so your barns will be filled with plenty, your vats will overflow with new wine. Now here's one place I'm not going this morning. So don't misinterpret me. You can hear it, you can turn on your TV and turn it to Christian television, so-called Christian television, any time of the day or night, and you can hear about giving to get. That's not what God's saying. We don't give to get. That's a twisted lie from the enemy, and it's coming from a lot of preachers. And it's a lie. It's a lie. The principle of tithing is the principle of putting God first. And it's a principle of faith. See, it's easy to take and pay all our bills first and then give to God out of whatever's left over. That doesn't take faith at all. That's just math. That's just humanism. It's carnality. There's no faith involved in that. It takes faith to put God first. And when it comes to your pocketbook, it takes even more faith to put God first. Why? Because the world operates on money. The world operates on it. But you know what? God's kingdom does not operate on that. God's kingdom uses it, but God's kingdom does not depend on the world's monetary system. God's kingdom depends on Him. It depends on Him and Him alone. You know, and I'm not preaching something that I haven't lived in my own life. And I've given an example before, and I've seen it in other people's lives. But, you know, years and years ago, we had our first house, and I was struggling in business and not making enough money to get by. And the Lord put, and I was a new Christian, maybe 2 years into my faith. Something like that. And got a letter from the bank, a foreclosure letter on the house, threatening foreclosure. And about 2 days later, the Lord put on my heart to tithe. I wasn't tithing. And I knew it, and I knew it was the Lord, and I didn't hesitate. And I said, we're going to tithe. And we started tithing. And I won't go into all the details. It doesn't matter because it's all about Him. But that was in, like, I remember in, I think, in February. And by the end of the year, through some things that took place that God orchestrated, our mortgage was completely paid off. Again, the details don't matter. What matters is it was God. It was God. And I can tell you that's why I'm so passionate about this, because I was a new Christian. And that was my first experience with tithing. And I didn't do it to get the house paid off. I struggled. I said, Lord, I can't make the house payment, and you want me to tithe. And I tithed, that's right. And anything else that happened after that was Him. It was Him, and you can't convince me otherwise. I can remember several years ago in the church here, there was a young woman with three kids and had gotten divorced. The husband had left to her and the kids, not giving them any money, and she's struggling financially. She asked me to sit down with her finances and help her do her budget. And she had it. I remember sitting down at the table, and she had it on her laptop. And I'm going through, she had every bill, every expense, and she had her income. And right there at the top, she had tithe. And I went through that, and when she gets to the bottom, she's in a negative. And my first thought was, I didn't say this to her, thank God. My first thought was, she can't afford to tithe. And the Lord immediately spoke to me and said, she has faith in spite of her circumstances. And so, and I saw over time, through struggles, the Lord to work in her life and going to school and supporting and just do a miracle in her life. But it's about faith. That's why I said faith's not easy. There's no easy faith. It takes faith to be obedient. It takes faith to be obedient. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 24, Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now, people think of mammon as money. Mammon is not money itself. Mammon is a spirit that's on money. Mammon is an Aramaic term that means riches. And it originated back with the Babylonians, who were famous for their arrogance and their independence of not needing God. And so Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon. That mammon, the spirit of mammon, wants you to serve him. He wants you to serve yourself and be independent of God. Mammon says you don't need God. You're self-sufficient. And that spirit of mammon is a liar because it promises everything and it delivers nothing. It promises security. It promises significance. It promises identity. It promises power, prestige, all those things. And it doesn't deliver. It doesn't deliver. The truth is, Jesus is the answer no matter what the question is. Jesus is the answer. You see, it takes faith to believe that. It takes faith to believe that Jesus is the answer no matter what the question is. And it takes faith to live that, not just believe it, but to live it. In verse 19, Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." In verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where's your treasure this morning? Where's your treasure being banked? Is it being banked in your bank account, in your investments, in all the things that you seek after? Or is it being banked in heaven? Where's your treasure? Are you laying up treasures in heaven? You know, when it's all said and done, tithing is about the heart. Actually, everything's about the heart. Everything's about the heart. You see, your heart will either cause your faith to grow, or your heart will limit your faith. In Matthew, or in Luke, chapter 6, in verse 38, Jesus is speaking again, and he says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put in your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." Now, he's talking about judgment there. But that principle applies to anything. It can apply to anything. You see, some people read that, and this is the scripture that some preachers use to preach that give to get gospel. Oh, give and you'll get back more. That's twisting scripture. It's a lie. It's a heresy. That's not what he's saying. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying it's the law of reaping and sowing. Whatever you give, you're going to get back more of. You know, you can't outgive God. But he's talking about judgment here, but it could apply to most anything. It could apply to grace. It could apply to mercy. It could apply to understanding. It could apply to most anything. If you judge, you're going to receive judgment. If you condemn, you're going to receive condemnation. If you forgive, you're going to receive forgiveness. You see, Jesus doesn't teach us to give to get. He wants the motive of our heart to be right. And it's all about the motive of our heart. He wants the motive of our heart to be in generosity and obedience. That's the motives that he wants in our heart. Generosity and obedience. And in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 3, I think it is, he says, "You ask and you do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures." Motive. It's about the motive of the heart. The motive of the heart. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, he's talking about generosity. And in verses 9 and 10, he says, "Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, 'The seventh year, the year of release, it is at hand,' and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. You shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works, in all to which you put your hand to." You see, there was a command back then that, and you'll talk about it in just a minute in one other verse, where if you had a slave and your slave was with you for 6 years, in the seventh year you were to set them free. And all debts, every 7 years, all debts were to be released. Wouldn't that be nice? Every 7 years, your mortgage would be forgiven. Some of you would be buying a house every 7 years, or a car, or whatever. But he's saying, beware lest you have a wicked thought in your heart. Oh my gosh, seventh year's coming up. I need to collect that. I need to get that. I need to get that debt paid to me. He's saying, that's an evil heart. The heart, the motive is wrong. There's three conditions of the heart. There's a selfish heart. When it comes to this, there's a grieving heart, and there's a generous heart. And he's saying, don't have a selfish heart. Don't be selfish. A selfish heart is not pleasing to God. You see, a selfish heart, we get selfish, it comes before we give. And a selfish heart says, I can't afford that. I can't afford to give. I don't want to give. Or I don't want to give because I don't want to give. And then he said, there's a grieving heart. "You shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved," verse 10, "when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works." You see, sometimes people will give and then they regret it. They'll give to God and they'll say, I wish I'd have kept that. Have you ever given a gift to God and just extravagant gift maybe and something that stretched you, and then the next day the refrigerator goes out or the car breaks down? You know, that's what he's saying. Don't have a grieving, don't regret when you give. Give with the right heart. Don't have a grieving heart. Have a generous heart verse 15. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you, and therefore I command you this thing today. He's saying, remember, see, I remember when I was in Egypt, when I was in the ditch, and God brought me out, and I've never forgotten it. And that's what he's saying. We need to have a grateful heart. Not a selfish heart, not a grieving heart, but a grateful heart. Be grateful for what God has done for you. If nothing else other than save you, that's enough to give him everything. Have a grateful heart. Have a grateful heart. Why? Why should we have a grateful heart? Because everything that I have and everything that you have belongs to him. Now, I know some very successful business people, men and women, have done tremendous in gaining wealth. But let me tell you, if you get the attitude that I earned this, well, let me tell you what the Bible says. It is God who gave you the ability to gain riches, to gain wealth. God gave you the ability. So you know what? It belongs to him anyway. And all he's asking is, give me 10%. Just give 10% to my bride, the church, and you can keep the rest. You see, some of us think we can do more with 100% of our money than God can do with 90%. You know what this church does? This church, we tithe as a church. Everything that you give to the church in the general fund, 10% comes off the top and goes into missions. We give it. We tithe into missions. The Bible doesn't tell the church to tithe, but it tells us to tithe, and we are the church. And so that's a principle that God gave us in the very beginning from day one, and we've kept it. And let me tell you, he has blessed this church. Amen. He has blessed the church. You see, it all belongs to him anyway. Yeah. It all. So when we tithe, we're not giving to God. We're just returning a portion of what's his. Amen. It's a portion of what's his. Now, and here's the thing, folks. I have been destitute, and I have been well off. Paul says, I have learned to be content in both those situations. And that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. And you may be in a situation today that you say, I can't afford to tithe. I only got $20 in the bank. Well, if you give God $2, you got $18 left. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Luke chapter 21. This is the story of the widow's two mites. So if you don't think you can afford to honor God, listen to this. And he looked up and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. And so he said, this is Jesus speaking. And so he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than them all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. And God honors it. God honors it. 1 Kings. Chapter 17. This is a story of Elijah. The Lord told Elijah to proclaim a drought in the land. And it happened. And everything dried up, and there was a famine. And in verse 8, Elijah encounters the widow. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and he said, "Please bring me a water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son so that we may eat it and die." She was starving. And she was getting ready to prepare her last little meal for her and her son. And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from the first." See that word, first? "And bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day of the Lord sends rain on the earth." And so she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. And the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. God's word. It's God's truth, people. And if you ever catch this, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. Again, we don't give to get. We give to give because the Lord has provided, and the Lord will provide. When you can't see a way, God knows a way. That's why we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. The widow said, "I've only got this little bit of flour and this little bit of oil." And the Lord said, "Don't walk by sight. Walk by faith. Go and fix that last meal for you and your child, as you said, but give me part of it first." And she never ran out. That's his principle of putting God first in your finances, in your pocketbook. And it spreads to every place in your life. Every place in your life. Worship team, would you come? Let's pray. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know if you tithe or not. I don't know who tithes and who doesn't. It's not my job. My job is to do just what I've done, to give you God's word, God's truth, and let the Holy Spirit work it in you. But I can tell you this. I've seen God do a miracle in this church because people were obedient and faithful. Obedient and faithful. When we came into this place, we didn't have a dime. And God orchestrated everything. And in 3 years, we were debt free because people were obedient. And God is faithful. Amen. Will you be faithful to Him? Will you put God first? Will you? It starts with putting Him first in your heart. Finances are just an aftermath. Put God first in your heart. Put Him first in your life. Make him your first love. And if you've never done that, why not today? Why not give your life to the Lord today by faith? It's all about faith. It's about letting go and letting him. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Repent of your sins. Turn from your sin. Believe that he is the one true God and Savior. And by faith, receive his forgiveness. And begin to walk in it. Begin to make him your first love. You see, that's why he's called our first love. Because when we're born again, when we go from spiritual death to spiritual life, it's because of his love. And his love becomes first. His love is the first love and the only love that saves us. That's why he's the first love. Don't lose your first love. I can stand before you and tell you there's been times that I have. Repent and come back to him. Amen. Make him your first love. Put him first in your life. You'll experience things that there's not words to express. What he'll do in your life if you'll be faithful to him. Father, thank you for your word. God, I ask you by your word and by your spirit to grow faith in this place, to increase faith in your people. Increase faith in me. Build a foundation, build a block of faith in this place. That when the shaking begins, this place will be immovable. These people and the things of God in our lives would be immovable. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.